Shoes are fashionable, whether they're for humans or horses. And there was a time when every community had a blacksmith, and their work was really focused on utility. Today's blacksmiths still focus on utility and function, but there's also a certain art to what they do. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Craig Turnka is the CEO of the World Championship Blacksmiths. He explains how blacksmithing has evolved and gives us some perspective into the life of a blacksmith.
Blacksmith was all-encompassing with agriculture, so the blacksmiths made plows, they made everything, and they forged everything, basically revolving around agriculture. They did everything. Coming from an agricultural society, you did everything. And then the veterinarian community, as it got more specialized, and you started to have things like domesticated dogs that needed care and this and that, the veterinarian community branched off. And then you had farriers and horseshoers, or farriers and blacksmiths, which all was one in the same. And then after the Industrial Revolution, then the farrier became a specialized art, and they started doing their own thing. So then you had blacksmiths. Basically, they are agriculture. They like architectural blacksmiths, ornamental blacksmiths, and different kinds. And farriers are just a different genre of blacksmiths, where they work with metal. They're a blacksmith and they're a farrier.
So give me an overview of the blacksmith competition. What is that? What are they actually doing?
They have different skill sets, and the single most hardest thing that we do as farriers, that we have to fill a schematic, and the schematic is the bottom of a horse's foot. So the single hardest thing we do is have to fabricate a shoe to fit the perimeter of a horse's foot. So everything is revolved around learning how to use the anvil so that you can fit and make the shoes fit the horses better, in return that the welfare of the animal is actually better. So the three tests that they'll be doing are, there's a forging one day, and they have shoes that they're trying to replicate. The closer they replicate, the better off they do. And then the second day is another different skill set of forging, to where they try to fit the horse's foot. And then on the third day, we have what we call the short go-round, where they actually get to shoe a horse with a straight piece of bar stock, and they accumulate points over the 3 days, and the one with the highest aggregate points is actually crowned the king of, or the queen of, the Madison Midwest Horse Fair.
So what equipment is needed to do this then, or what's even the process of making a horseshoe?
Well, the anvil was the center of all, like, fabrication. Anvil was the greatest tool on the face of the planet up until Henry Ford invented the assembly line, and then they mechanized everything and they tooled everything. But everything comes from the anvil. So the horn of the anvil is the pointy bick part of the anvil, and that's what everything is forged and fabricated on. And then you have a forge, which is, it's the actual, you can have coal, you have contemporary propane forges, and they heat things up. And so you got to have a forge and an anvil. And really, in old days of old, if you stole the blacksmith's tools, he could refabricate every one of the tools and reproduce all his tools. So it's basically, it's the actual act of fabricating and making everything. They're the ultimate green people, because they take something that's old and wrecked, and they can heat it up and refabricate it and recycle it. So they're the ultimate recyclers.
It takes a lot of manpower to be able to do this. How long just does it take? Or, you know, I feel like it's got to have some effect on the body. How long can the average blacksmith even go?
I've been doing it for 40 years, but the average, it is one of those things where in England, they have accreditation for being a farrier, and it takes 5 years. It takes about 5 years to get in and learn how to do something. Being a farrier and doing skill sets such as a carpenter or anything, is you don't really learn it by verbal communication or knowledge. You learn it by seeing it and reproducing it and doing it over and over and over again. So the way you learn how to, let's say, pull a shoe off a horse is you pull 2,000 shoes off, and now you have the ability and the skill set to pull a shoe. So it's really, really a monkey see, monkey do type of trade, where you see it done correctly, then it takes 2,000 times to try and reproduce it. And that's what, and so basically you're running out of time by the time your career ends of even knowing how to shoe a horse properly. Basically, the way the WCB was formulated was is that there's no mandatory accreditation for being a farrier in the United States. So continuing education is not really something that is under a structure. And here is a place that they can compete and learn direct skill sets that benefit the horse. So what we do is we have these contests, four or five of them around the country, and there's no minimum requirement because we're encouraging people to come, because once you get around your peers, it becomes very evident what you do and you don't know. And that's probably the best thing that they learn about this is coming and facing the music of, well, their skill set is lacking in this because I got destroyed in this skill set or this skill set. And that's it. And our number one attrition of the WCB is success. When people get so busy that their business is so demanding that they can no longer come to these contests. And so it's like the perfect attrition. People learn, they learn skill sets, they get better, and then they become too busy and they can no longer come to our events. And that's the whole goal, is to get them to come through the system and then not be able to come.
Blacksmithing in general, that's obviously changed over time. You kind of highlighted it, but what are some key techniques or even just trends that you've seen in the recent years?
Well, what we have is you have like things, people can't compete with Walmart because Walmart has mass produced so many things that it's like you can't compete price-wise. So people in the old days, when they made something, they would try to make it so refined that it looked machine-made, and that was a sign of quality. Nowadays, you have contemporary blacksmiths that put hammer marks on it because handmade is a sign of quality. So a blacksmith would never want to have hammer marks on their stuff as far as, unless for textures, so that they could show quality. And so now Walmart has made it to where people can get things, quality things, for fairly cheap. But we've gone past the tipping scale, and now people want individual things that are made specifically for their demands. And so we're starting to see it pivot, and you have a renaissance of blacksmiths that do structural engineering and stuff like that for homes, because it's made exactly for that staircase. It's made exactly for that fireplace. And so you see the service always gets knocked out, and because people are price shopping, and then they get tired of not having service and they want quality.
So this is a regional competition you mentioned. So what's next? Is there a championship competition somewhere? Kind of what does that graphic look like?
So this is the season opener here in Madison, Wisconsin. This is like the third biggest horse fair in the country, so obviously it's the place to come. And then we go to three other locations. One location is at our home. During COVID, we started a competition because no one wanted to go out and about, so and we decided that we were gonna have a contest at our house. And so we've had a contest since COVID at our home because it became a tradition. And then we go to North Carolina and have a big contest there. And then we end up at the Fort Worth Stock Shows and have our national championship. And people are gaining points at all these events. And then you have the national champion crowned in Fort Worth, Texas.
So what is the overall demographic of those involved in this? Is it kind of older, younger? Are there women involved or younger generations? What does that look like?
Well, I think with the woman question is, women love horses. Men, like when you're small kids playing, men play with tractors and tanks and trucks, and women always get a horse, and women truly do love horses. But so there's always been a room and a niche for women because women love horses, but it's very demanding on, and I'm not saying that women can't do it. Women make wonderful farriers, and it is an increasing market. There's lots more and more women all the time getting into shoeing horses. And I would say that the shoeing schools that they have are more predominantly more women than men at this point. So women do it. We have probably a small percentage, maybe 7% to 10% of these competitors we have at this contest are women. And women make wonderful because women are logical. So it's like all those things make sense. And there's, I would say, 98% of all the horses that people do are owned by women nowadays. So there's no discrepancy. You know what I mean? There's no old school sexual harassment or anything like that. It's all, there's just, I think there's a even playing field. It is, it's young people, and it's very refreshing for us. It's probably the main thing that we do is we want people to become entrepreneurs. We want people to be small business owners. We want people to know that they can be small business owners. And we want people to succeed. And these young people, they do the one thing that is starting to die in our country, which is they get up every morning and they go to work. And so it's like these are very energetic, and like I could name probably seven people under that tent that are under 22 years old that already have their first mortgage. So it's like it's very refreshing. They're very and you know it's like I think that you have to have a purpose-driven life, and to be able to make something with your hands and fabricate something is probably something that a lot of people will never understand. And it's like once you do it, it's you're just enslaved to it the rest of your life.
That was Craig Turnka, CEO of the World Championship Blacksmiths. He added that it takes about 500 hammer blows to make one horseshoe, so the manpower needed is great. But you also need that mind power. And the best form of education is through competition. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.